Hebrew. But it started, it's everything that's ever happened that was bad to Israel all happened on the same day. So this is to show the whole world that there is a God of Israel. Because it is impossible for this to be coincidental. And it is to show Israel that God is at work, and it really is an invitation for the whole world to turn to the God of Israel. But it started, the spies returned on the 8th of Av from looking to the promised land, and on the 9th of Av they gave the bad report and said, we would rather go back to Egypt than be slaughtered by the giants. And this resulted in them not being allowed to go into the promised land. That was the 9th of Av. And so they had to wait 38 years, and only the children of those of that evil generation, as it's called, was allowed to enter the land, which is the origin of the I will visit the sin onto the children and the children to four generations. There were four generations in the desert there. The first temple also was destroyed, of course, on the 9th of Av, 423 BC. 500 years later, on the very same day, the 9th of Av, the second temple was destroyed by the Romans. And then when the Jews rebelled against the Roman rule in 133 with Bar Kokhba revolution, which Rabbi Akiva declared to be the Messiah, this resulted in them being butchered at the Battle of Beitar, which was on the 9th of Av. And then 1 year after the conquest of Beitar, is on that very day, is when they plowed the Temple Mount, the holiest site. The Jews were expelled from England in 1290 on Tishba Av. 1492, the golden age of Spain came to a close when Queen Isabel and her husband Ferdinand ordered that the Jews be banished from the land. And the day that there was not to be any Jews allowed to remain in Spain was the 9th of Av, 1492, which of course is when Cohen sailed the ocean blue with a boatload of Jews looking for a safe place to land and found America. And his actual name is Cohen, it's not Columbus. And you can see the writings that he did to his Jewish relatives, and he signs it Cohen, but Columbus to the Spanish because of the anti-Semitism. And so he went to find a safe place for Jews and found America, and America has been the safest place for Jews ever since, hopefully continued to be so, but it's not looking good. Amen. So watch how you vote. The Hebrew date on which no Jews were allowed was the 9th of Av. Now, also then we have World War I began in 1914 when Germany declared war on Russia, and that was on the 9th of Av. And World War II is just a continuation of World War I. There was just a break in the action. And so Jews say that the Holocaust then, therefore, began on the 9th of Av with World War I, and then Hitler restarting it after the Treaty of Versailles ripped the Germans off. Is that right? And then we go to the Warsaw Ghetto, to the death camps, was instigated on the 9th of Av. And one last one, there's a whole bunch of littler ones, but one last one is Gush Katif, which we were all involved in protesting. And there's a book out here with orange called Actualities. You should look through it. It's from the Gush Katif. When Israel decided to give Gush Katif back to Islam for the sake of peace, and all they got from it was rockets, which still continue to fall on Israel. So that is a precious book there for the orange people. And so I kind of wore orange today. I can't see red very good, so I'm not sure if this is orange, but that is orange, yes. But that's the Gush Katif color, which is the latest 9th of Av disaster when the Israelis were kicked out of that place. Oh, Yisrael Cohen, our buddy, did that. So I played, what did we play, Asherah today? Did we, yes, which means happy, because we're happy that it's almost time to build.
Yes.
And so we played Cry No More to take care of the morning part. But it is been 1,946 years today since Israel had a temple. And as Daniel tells us, the prince to come's people would destroy the second temple, and the second temple was destroyed under the Roman authority, but by the Arabs. The legions that were under control of Vespasian in AD 70 were all Arabs. The Arabs, the people of the prince to come, is the Antichrist, the beast, Armillus in the Jewish writings, which comes up in the Star Trek movie if you watch closely. But it is, it was the beast, the Antichrist's relatives that destroyed the Second Temple. And this is brought up in Daniel, prophesied in Daniel 500 years before it happened. So anyway, that is the interesting things about Tish B'Av, the ninth of Av, and how we can hopefully look at it as being almost over. And that Hashem would have his way with this generation that we are getting to participate with. And these youngsters that come through Jaffa Gate when we're dancing there, they're Zionists, and as I said in the Israel report, that they were, this year is the first time that they all just started shouting, "We love you," to us. And we always did that to them, and then they'd say, "We love you too." But this year, they just took over. We didn't even get a chance to say anything. It is perhaps the sign for us that the temple is coming soon to a world near us. Amen. So stay tuned. And it all comes out of this book you got. The book called the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, and the Messianic Writings. We're in Bereshit, as I still am trying to muster up enough energy to continue in this, or not energy, but chutzpah, bravery, since it's over my head. The creation is way more advanced than what anybody thought until our present day. The scientists are starting to find out how complex the world is and how complex the creation is and how the Bible actually knew what it was talking about in Moses' day when he wrote Bereshit, Genesis. So it must be a supernatural book. Amen. And we got to the issue of light. There was darkness. Then there was Ruach. And then there was Or. There is darkness, then there is spirit, and then there is light. And this is day one, and it's when we get to that, it's not the first day, as your translation probably says. It's specifically the first day is isolated as Yom Echad. Not the second day, third day, fourth day are not written that way. So the first day is spectacular in its own right because on the first day, light, on the first day, Messiah, because Messiah is the light of creations. Well, so speaking of light now, as I said, I think last week or the week before, the scientists cannot deal with what God made on first day. They're smart people, and they can't handle the first day of our book. Because light, what is it? And what do we know about it today in our advanced scientists? What do we know about light? Almost nothing. First of all, it has to either be a wave or a particle. A particle stream or a wave. Which one is it? It's both, which is impossible. Welcome to creation. By an impossible God. Hallelujah.
all things are possible through him. But it was Einstein and his contemporary friends. I wish I could go back in time and hang out in a couple of these little visitations they had over coffee or rum or whatever they had back in those days. And because Einstein and his contemporaries got into this advanced world of math, and it exploded what man knew. But it exploded what man knew in a way that was so mysterious and impossible that it led Einstein to say things about God. And it is cool because they started to figure out a little bit about light. And they found out that it come in little bundles of light. And they weren't separate, but they acted as a group. Kind of like Messiah, body of Messiah. See, Ewens is light as a metaphor, right? And we walk in the light. But this opened the door to quantum physics, as we mentioned. But first, back in 1868, Leon Foucault discovered that the speed of light was less in water. How can that be? Which means it has to mean that light acts as a wave and not as a particle stream. Okay, then Maxwell discovered that light was an electromagnetic wave in 1879. Like 12 years later, we went from particles to waves in 12 years, and nobody's invented the airplane yet. Can you say mathematicians? Then in the 20th century, Planck discovered light comes in little bundles, and this is actually the origin of the word quantum. And then we get to Einstein and his buddies. But the idea of light being quantum shook everything known about physics. And as I said before, even one of those scientists that got involved in the early days of quantum physics killed himself because he just couldn't handle it. Had to kill himself because his mind... And this is why, as I say, the forehead is thick bone to keep you from rubbing holes in your forehead getting to the brain. It gives you something to rub. This is why you have this head bone. But we do exist, we are and exist in a quantum universe, and this would seem to be what happened on the creation of the first day with God said, let there be light, or light. So we're not able to see this in a simple way. What God made, it's just over the top, and we're still just getting into it with the science of today, with the super colliders. But the wonder, the awe of it shows how wonderful the creation is and how it has to be creation and not Big Bang, right? And it also shows you how wonderful and fearfully you are made. You are made wonderfully and fearfully. But you were not evolved. You were made, created, bore, by Hashem, right? And you know, my hope is that all this wonder, the awe of it, that in the coming time, Olam Haba, the world to come, that we would be able to fathom the universe in its 10 at least dimensions. But when we would be able to get a revelation of creation, we'll probably go down in worship for 1,000 years, millennium. It's just too good. It's too wonderful, right? But these poor scientists, they try to figure out this first day in light, and you got to feel sorry for him. In 1906, Thomson got the Nobel Peace Prize for proving that light was particle stream. In 1906, you know, Henry Ford just made a car. And he proved that light was a particle stream and got the Nobel Peace Prize for it. In 1937, 31 years later, his son got the Nobel Peace Prize for proving that light was a wave. You ever know a family like that? They can't agree on anything. Particle wave. Nobel Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, these guys, I'd love to visit with them. But in this wave-particle paradox, this is the central mystery of what quantum physics is made up of. And so how can it be both? Because it cannot be both, and it is both. It has been proven for some time now. And how strange the creation. And the only time light manifests itself as a particle stream is when it knows it's being watched in a laboratory. So if this doesn't tilt your head, you're not listening. When it knows it's being watched, and this shows us that all creation has the fingerprint of God in it. There is nothing in the universe that is dead. All of the creation has the life of Messiah in it. And I'll get into that if we have very much time today. And isn't this what the Bible says? Who holds everything together? Messiah. Everything. That includes rock. He holds it together, Messiah Yeshua. So another thing about ore or light is how fast is it? Now, back in the old days, they thought it was infinite, which means it wasn't fast. It just was always instant. No speed, just infinite fast. But then the telescope, when they invented the telescope, they just discovered that it was very, very fast. 186,000 miles per second is the speed of light today. And I meant today because we'll talk about that too. But how did they find out the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second with the telescope? They saw the eclipse start on Jupiter, and it took several minutes for the light to get to the moons of Jupiter because they're so far out. And this showed up in the paper last week, or 2 weeks ago, when our satellite went to Jupiter, and it's sending back its transmissions at almost the speed of light, and it took 28 minutes or something like that for the message to get from Jupiter to the Earth because it's going 186,000 miles per second, right? And I had a Harley Davidson that almost went that fast. But anyway, when this guy discovered that the speed of light was that fast, nobody believed it. Everybody kept saying it was. But it turns out by science now that this guy that did that really was really close to accurate on the speed of light. Okay, now the other thing, though, is it is slowing down. The speed of light has been slowing down since creation. And what does that mean? Time is slowing down. We already talked about speed of light is related to time. Time is related to light. Light and time are not separatable. Some estimate that it was four times faster in Abraham's day. This is why he's able to walk clear to the Holy Land. Because, no, I'm just saying. But time was four times faster in Abraham's day. And if you plot this on a curve, like Chuck Missler did on his video, it could mean that it was 10 million times faster at creation, the speed of light. And this would then tell you why a star's light could be here already if the universe is only 6,000 years old. Because it came so much faster then. And the speed of light now has slowed down a lot. Okay, no big deal, except that it takes everything we know about time and throws it out the window. Okay, what do we know is that God did create everything in 5 days, and then on the sixth day he created man. But the universe itself was created in 5 days. And we know these are 24-hour days because of Exodus, right? In the Ten Commandments, it tells us that. But he created everything, but one day to him may have been like 10 million days to us. See, we don't know what it, you can't, this time thing is a physical dimension, and so you can't just think about it the way you want to think about it. It is a physical thing, okay? So it was 6 24-hour days, but this time thing is amazing, and it makes it fun to do time travel movies and all that stuff. But what was day one? What would we call day? The Jews would call it Yom Rishon. Day one, we would call it Sunday. Is the first day is Sunday, but it's Yom Rishon in Hebrew, and it's the day when light here was created. So if one is going to go with the gap theory, it seems the earth became void, if we already talked about that. And so there is just water and darkness, and you have to love the second part of the second verse, because then you have spirit, and then we have the spirit brooding over the water in the dark, and what happens next is light. And so spirit, light, and glory. And this right there already shows the gospel. There is darkness, there is spirit, and there is light. There is evil, and then there is the Holy Spirit, and there is Messiah. We got the gospel, we've only second verse of the Bible. Okay, so Yeshua is the Holy Spirit and the light, and we know this, and the light is the life of man. Light is the life of man. Yeshua is the life of man. So be ye lighted, amen. Be ye brooded on by the Ruach HaKodesh. May he mess up everything about you that's not him. Amen. Wreck your day. But just make sloppy on you, your day. Amen. First quote of God is verse 3. God said, and this is a direct quote. God is talking. And we don't get very far in the Bible, and the Bible quotes Hashem. And the Bible says, and God said something. And he said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light. And what does he say? It was tov. Tov, good. T-O-V is tov in Hebrew is good. And then he made the first separation. We mentioned separation already, but the work of God in creation already is in separating. And God is always a God that separates. He is never a God that mixes. He always separates. And he is still doing the work of that first day today, because he is still separating the light from the darkness. And so he is separating God. Amen. And the world always wants to mix everything. And this is called unholy. But unmixed is called holy. And so be ye holy. Be ye holified. Amen. With the light of God as he separates. And he said, what does he say? It's good. And what is darkness then? It's not good. We could call it bad or ra in Hebrew. And so what? You have this separation, and we have Erev and Boker, Yom Echad. Erev and Boker, we know that is evening and morning. But what it originally meant is Erev meant it's hard to distinguish anymore. It's getting dark, and you can't see the separation anymore. Erev is like a mixture, and oh gosh, you can't see. But Boker means that you can make the separation. You can see the distinction, because why? The sun is coming up. So originally it meant disorder and order. And then it became known as evening and morning. But originally it's disorder and order. So for 6 days, 5 days of creation, God is adding order to the universe, which was without order. And in 5 days, he makes it complete order. And then on the sixth day, or on the seventh day, see, then he never says Erev and Boker. Because the order is complete. You have no more chaos and order. It is all order. All order. All main. And this is, then he could rest. And so this is day one. We have this going on here. And in Exodus 28, we know it's 24-hour days, because see, in the Ten Commandments, it says, just as God created the earth and everything in 6 days, now you must, and rested on the seventh 24-hour period. So now Israel has to rest on the seventh 24-hour period. So you can't say that these first 6 days were million-year periods or ages or something like that, or we'd have to have Israel keeping Shabbat for a million years first time. You see, you don't get to do that. So they're regular days, right? And so this is the entropy word. Entropy, and all science deals with entropy. Entropy is chaos. And in science, there is the law of entropy. And all scientists agree on the law of entropy, except one. But all sciences agree that you go from order to disorder. Things are right, and then they go bad, right? And this is why in our faith we want to get as close to the original as we can, the first century church, because everything always gets messed up over time. And so there's only one science today that doesn't teach entropy law, and that's biology. Why can't they teach entropy? Because they have to go from chaos to order to prove evolution to be true. They want to say that there's nothing but chaos and somehow it got itself together and became perfect. Which is stupid. See? And all the other sciences, but see, if they went with the law of entropy, which all sciences agree, everything is, it goes disorder. Is the, over time, things crap up. I only use that word because I was in the context of evolution. which is that? Order in and what came out. Okay. So it starts, creation week starts with empty and void or chaos or disorder, the Arab word, then we have in day one the beginning of order into disorder, and so it just keeps adding and adding, and so we have order, 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 and God saw it was good and then rested, and then no more order is added, and from that time on, then see, you have the opposite effect. You have it going into entropy again. If you watch the news, you'll see entropy, chaos today. And this is what the New Agers wanted to teach us in the 60s, is that man is evolving into a perfect person. You know, that didn't work. It was a nice dream. Oh, I'm evolving into something better. Oh, God. And I thought this, I heard that there was another church moving in over here. We were the first church in the factories. Now we started something, and I don't get any royalties from any of it. Because we got the Baptists over here, and another church is coming that I heard about at Rez's prayer meeting. And so then there's this church opening over here, so I go over there, I'm visiting with them, you know, and this lady and all this stuff. And I go over there this week, and there's a big Buddha in the foyer. And it's a Unitarian thing or something. And so here I, oh, rats. So there must be a fourth church moving in somewhere else, because there is a good one somewhere. but what's wrong with Unitarians? You know, think about it. It's as like as dumb as evolution. All religions are specific for their own beliefs. They're all exclusive. There's no two alike. So to say that you're going to put them together means you have to violate all of them. It's an oxymoron to say Unitarian religion. It's impossible. You can't take this faith and this faith and put it together without canceling what this faith believes and canceling what this faith believes, because they don't believe that. There's only two things that you can have in that argument. You can have either all of them are wrong, or you can have one is right, but you can't have two is right, because they're all different. See, so it's impossible to have two that are right, because they're different. So they're either all wrong, or you can have one that's right. I'll just leave that with you. Oh, I love this book. Don't you love your book? The book says which one is right because it's supernatural. It's over the top. Bereshit, Bore, Elohim. Then, okay, so we have the 6 days, and then God goes back to work with redemption after that. And that is still in the work of redemption, which is the work of separation. And because that perfect cherub, until iniquity was found in him, is still working today, right? We talked about that in Ezekiel. So anyway, second day, oops, got to stop. We're on the seventh day, Shabbat here. But the second day is the hardest day in creation to understand. because of the vocabulary, it's really tough because we have expanse and firmament and sky and heaven. And rakia is firmament. The expanse, the sky, or the heaven is rakia, which is firmament, which means firm or solid. So don't go in an airplane, you're going to hit something. The sky is a solid, is what it sounds like. And then you have waters, ma'im, is waters. And of course, there's over 200 figures of speech in the Bible, or metaphors or similes and all these things that we talk about, types. Ma'im is water, but it also represents Messiah, right? He is the water of life. And that doesn't mean that he's a bottle of water. It just means he gives life, right? But here's one. Perhaps some of the water could be plasma. You know, water can be in four states. We know that there's ice, and which I dug in Wednesday in the snowfield and froze my hands. And then when it melts, it's water. If you heat it up, it turns to steam. But if you superheat the steam, you get a fourth state called plasma. Plasma. Pretty cool, huh? And so it can be in four states. But this plasma state is over the top. David Bohm, in the 50s, the quantum physics scientist, in his study of plasma, he saw that the plasma acted as if they all knew each other. And once again, there is no isolated matter in the universe. They are all connected and held together by some force. Guess who? He and Einstein started talking about plasma and as a being all connected and part of a whole and not independent. And this is called non-locality in physics. There is no piece of matter in the universe that is independent of all of the creation. Okay, and this leads to all points in space being equal to all other points in space, which will lead to a matter lead to matter being in two different places at once, and alternate universes. Welcome to quantum physics. This, I'm going to get off of this science thing in a week. So relax, will you? This is church meeting. We're just talking about the creation. It's supernatural. And all creation is alive. There is no dead matter in the universe. See, I want you to start having your mind opened to how awesome everything is. Everything! Now, I know I'm attached to Mike because I've never been able to get rid of him, but all matter in the universe is related to all other matter in the universe. And when you're talking about an atom, you know, an atom has a nucleus and an electron wandering around it like in a roundabout. They just go forever. You know, you ever seen these people in the roundabout that are confused and they're just in there? You know, you can't help them. They're just in there. Pretty soon they get all thin. Pretty soon you come back a year later, it's just a skeleton still going around. Yeah, there's one right over here. No, if the nucleus of an atom was a pinhead right here, the electron going around it would be over there in Centerra across the highway. That's to scale of an atom. So almost all space is empty. Even this is mostly empty space. So we'll talk about the atom and the nucleus, because what they have now with the super colliders is they run these atoms into each other at the speed of light, and it releases all the quantum particles that are inside the nucleus, which is so tiny. And we'll talk about quarks. Not dorks. Quarks. Quarks. They found over 200 particles inside the nucleus now. And they try to name them all. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you want to hear something really crazy? Some of the particles are going backward in time, not forward. I mean, I'm talking this creation business is really intense. I'm sure you wished you could go back in time. because it's 10 after 12. But see, I have mastered this. And so I'm just going to continue on because I am reversing. We'll get in. Hey. But our future, you guys, you just gotta stand back and in the wonder of it all and appreciate who we have as our Savior. He is the one who created all this, and he is so much that it's just, and science now proving all along what the Bible has said from the beginning. I tell you, it's just fantastic. And thank you for putting up with me and all that. And we'll get going in the future. Shabbat shalom. Yah v'rekeka Adonai v'yishmereka. Ye'ir Adonai p'na v'leka v'chunecha. Yiso Adonai p'na v'leka. V'yoseim l'ka shalom b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar HaShalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you. Lift his countenance upon you. Let his light get on you, I'm talking about. Let you shine with the light of creation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen and amen. Shabbat shalom. Rebuild the temple.